And welcome back to Tech Vibe Radio. How's that for like an
meditative,
ominous intro? A little Black Sabbath.
I was going to say that took me. I had a little flashback. Sorry.
I know. It was like 1969 or something like that.
No.
1970. I don't know when this.
Later.
It was Sabbath, and that, so it couldn't have been any later than like 72, maybe.
Was this the kind of music your mother used to play while you were carrying you?
No, John Denver, man, all the time.
No way.
And like Carly
Rocky
Simon.
Mountain High?
Yeah, all that type of stuff. It explains a lot, does it not?
Woo.
I would have more edge if there was more Sabbath in my early years, but not the case. Everybody, this is Tech Vibe Radio here on 1360 WMNY. We have two prizes today. If someone decides to actually pick up their phone and not be so lazy, pick up the phone. You can even pick up your Verizon.
I don't know if it's laziness, Jonathan. No, that might not be a good way to incentivize people.
I'm going to use the negative reinforcement method possibly this week of like saying you're
it's a little stubborn.
I know. Yeah. It is because I'm getting frustrated.
Okay.
But you can even use your Verizon mobile phone and hit #1360 and you'll be zapped right in here to talk with us. And the prizes are one Tech Burger t-shirt. There's only one left in existence. I almost gave it
signed.
Signed. I almost gave it to Joey Rahimi from Branding Brand this weekend when they stopped by to pick up my mini
ramp. Did you deserve it?
I told them that I could maybe find one because we had the one, but I want one of our guests or one of our callers to have this shirt. Mm-hmm. And then we have Michael Couch here, who's offered to throw in, is it a chapter from your book or the whole entire book?
It's a resource guide.
Resource guide.
You know,
okay.
He still didn't get it. Did you notice that? Despite how much coaching he gave us during the break.
We'll use flashcards the next
time. We'll use flashcards.
The novel he wrote.
So he's going to throw in some good stuff. So
on what topic?
What will the topic be?
It's on how to build a strategy-driven organization.
Perfect.
Yep.
I could be interested in that.
You could be.
I could be. Convince me, which is why we're going to have you on the show today, right, to convince us of this type of stuff. So welcome to the show today. We're really excited to have you on.
Glad to be here.
Because you have some great advice, some great techniques, some great stuff to tell people who are building companies.
Right. Now,
so let's put ourselves in the mind that we're trying to reach people that are building technology companies, you know, small to mid-sized companies. So kind of keeping things we're going to talk about like in that mindset.
So that's your market. Is that your market?
A wide range of markets. I've got some large clients, but I love working with the local high techs, the local high tech startups, and there's a lot of great businesses like that here in Pittsburgh, so that's marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to be that I would get calls or have opportunities to work with people on just how to grow. You know, they're struggling with growth.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, there's two key pieces to that. It's having a great strategy that's focused on the market and delivering value. But then the second key piece is having the talent right.
So let's start with the talent side.
Yeah, because
talent is where it's at, for lack of a better term, right?
I agree.
Biggest expense. I mean, your payroll is probably
depends on the business, it's up there.
Oftentimes, I mean, and these are people's lives, you know, and you want to make sure you got the right people doing the right things at the right time.
That's the whole answer right there. You can go into consulting yourself.
That's your first chapter of your book. It's called The Right People Doing the Right Things at the Right Time.
I think that has already been written.
Chapter one.
Well, it's actually the right people doing in the right roles.
Okay.
Doing the right thing.
Okay.
On the right bus.
Yeah,
right from the book.
Right from what is it called?
But it's amazing how often businesses struggle with that.
Oh yeah, it's huge.
Well, it's easy to get distracted. You know, if you're starting a business, I think, and even if you're taking one over and, you know, you need to do some sort of transformation, it's easy to get distracted.
Yes.
Yeah. You work on stuff internally all the time and you forget that you're providing something to the rest of the world.
That's right. Well, and oftentimes startups that I talk to, they are their product. And
yes,
it's so hard for them to get outside of that and realize that they got to be focusing on the market, they got to understand and talk like the market, and then they need to do the right things to build the talent that's going to sustain their business. And I think that's probably the biggest challenge. So now when the economy's changed suddenly, it's who to keep and how to keep them. And entrepreneurs often struggle with that as well. But it's
meaning what? Talk. Drill down a little bit. Give us some examples.
Yeah, well, a startup recently was talking to, they need to get their costs in better shape. And their product is people. And so they had to do some restructuring. And the owner was just not sure how to do that.
Right.
You know, so in this case, it was understanding clearly what is the mission critical roles in their business. and assuring that they had their best talent in those mission critical roles. I mean, every job is important, but some really make a difference in the marketplace.
So how do you know that? So how, you know, well, you know, how do you help someone know that?
Well, it's just talking about, I start with strategy all the time and making sure most entrepreneurs have a pretty good feel for strategy, but they haven't converted it to a form that is easily communicated to their employees, and it isn't in the form where they can really understand what's going to make them grow and sustain over time. So we talk about that, and then we talk about which roles are critical, and then do an assessment of what talent they have and how it matches against it. And there's often disconnects. The best people aren't in the best spots, or mission-critical roles they haven't identified and gotten the right people in to begin with.
You know, another thing, I don't know if you see this, but I see this, the defining growth. Like,
yes.
What is growth? You know, is growth, you know, being stable year over year and having your margins become better?
Right, right.
Is growth, you know, really, you know, leaps and bounds where you get the economies of scale from the transactions?
Right.
I find people don't have a conversation. They use that word growth,
yes,
meaning just comparing it year over year. Or growth so that they can exit.
Yes, well, and guess what? If they can't define it, they can't get their team on board.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, to really get in people engaged and people committed to help you grow the business, you have to be able to have that thought in a form that they can understand and they can see their direct impact and their direct link to it.
But do you think you need to compensate people for growth?
Yes.
Are you sure. Seeing that?
Well, I think in two ways. Having the right people in the right roles, you need to be competitive and focus in on your top talent. So often companies want to pay everybody about the same. I argue that you should focus in on those mission critical roles, identify and your top talent, and make sure that you're doing much better than market on
right.
paying them and retaining them.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are some of the tough decisions that you need to, but that's a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a framework that helps you make decisions. It's a framework that helps people understand where you're going as a business.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard to stick to that. I think it's hard
yes.
to stick to
yeah.
that. Once you get the strategy, you get it in your mind, and then
how do you stay consistent?
You use it as a litmus test.
Right.
How do you
keep yourself running true to that mm-hmm. the entire time?
Yeah, and your people can help you do that. Which is a cool thing, I think. And it's tough for owners, in particular, private business owners, to sometimes to let go and to involve others. But I tell you, the best strategies come from not the CEO and not the owner. They come from partners. They come from customers. They come from people in the organization who are key touch points in your business. And you'd be amazed what you can do, and then what you can do to regenerate and refocus your strategy over time.
Well, what trends are you seeing right now? I mean, in terms of talent, in terms of behavior.
It's amazing. I've been to three different workshops in the area. I asked all the companies who were there. So many people are still struggling with growth.
Yeah. In a bad economy,
yeah.
people are struggling with growth. And we're going to come back and talk more about that. We're going to a quick break here to pay our bills and do all the fun stuff that we do to keep the radio station doing
and
what it does.
Support our advertisers and
sponsors. You better believe it. So, everyone, this is Tech Vibe Radio here on Pittsburgh Business Radio. That's 1360 WMNY. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Michael Couch. Welcome back to Tech Vibe Radio, everybody. This is Jonathan Kirsting here with Audrey Russo. We're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council, putting some fire behind the Pittsburgh Business Radio here with the Tech Vibe Radio.
Yeah, we were still carrying on the conversation during the break. That's
like
unusual.
Going all the way through.
Usually we get so obnoxious or, you know, there's some other conversation that gets derailed.
Or you're texting away at the speed of light.
I was doing that too, but I stopped.
But
did you notice? I stopped when I was talking to him.
It was very fascinating to see. It was very good.
I wanted to give him some, you know, dignity and respect.
Well,
he's talking about things that are pretty important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
And what I thought was really important was before we went to break, he was talking about how there's companies out there trying to manage their growth.
Right.
In these down economic times, which is what Audrey and I have been saying since we started this show back in September, when things really started tanking hard, was that this show has kind of become like a beacon of light to show that despite the down economy, there are businesses out there doing some pretty cool stuff that are growing, that are hiring, that are developing new products, and I like to say giving the proverbial finger to the economy, for lack of a better term.
I applaud you for it, because I think it's almost like the swine flu. It's a bunch of hype.
Yeah.
In my mind.
God, say that in the fall. Say that in the fall when you're in bed. Yeah. Call me.
But I think there's so many good things going on out there, and they don't get the press right now.
Well, they don't get the press, exactly.
Sometimes think we are living in a different place.
Yeah.
Jonathan and I will leave the show and go, wait a second. We leave here and people talk about the gloom and doom, and we are not making up a thing.
No, it's
when
all.
When they're in the studio, when he's writing TEQ, when he's looking at the blogs, when he's sending, you know, little, 140 characters on Twitter, they're not being made up.
Yeah.
There's
well, I think
no
part of
here.
It, you attract people who are interested in growth and want to do it right. And I think that's a great part of the Tech Council, I think. That's what I enjoy about it.
So tell us a little bit about your background. Actually, I don't want to switch gears too fast. I want to talk a little bit about the growth thing. Tell us a little bit, if you are a company and you are experiencing severe growth, I mean, as much as people want to grow, it kind of creates some problems along the way because people start being pulled in many directions. How do you keep yourself focused? You know, and to make sure that you're actually following your business plan and
isn't that medication?
Following through.
Yeah, I think I use medication for
that.
Do
you use medication? Myself,
yeah.
Or I think you were talking about tall beers a while
ago. I use the fast-acting tenactin. that seems to keep me on point. So,
and it always comes back to me to strategy. And I really work hard with companies on being able to make the strategy something that's understandable. And
so what is that? Give us an example of what a strategy is.
Well, some of it comes down to clarity. I had a client who was in several different businesses, as family-owned businesses, but they always did well. Now they were starting to struggle. Well, and when you ask the employees, what business are we in, they couldn't really say because they had branched off into ancillary kind of business. I think it's okay to say it was an assisted living company, but they got into stuff around that. They got into pharmacies. They got into apartment buildings, all kinds of things.
And pet care.
Yeah.
They were just diversifying.
Yeah. But then the employees had no idea where they were going. They finally realized that they were doing well because they didn't focus in on their core. They were fantastic. A company to run assisted living facilities. So now making that very clear, that's what we're going to do. That's where we're going to go for growth. That's where your careers are here.
Why not the other things? Because we went through this whole era of companies doing that. They were doing just that. They were saying, you know what? Why buy from my supplier when I can own them?
Yeah. And yes.
Why not go after that market? Because I know a tenth of that, and I bet you we can penetrate and create some economies of scale. So what's wrong with that?
Well, I think in my mind, it comes down to no matter what, your company has a driving force, and whether you pick one or not. And the key to me is pick one. And in this case, they were trying to serve a market rather than be very good at delivering a product. So they were thinking, I can do anything for a blank group of people.
Right.
They weren't good at that. They were very good at providing a product, and now they can expand by saying, let's find other good products like this that we can do something with.
Well, this is I'm very interested in megatrends.
Yes,
so
sure.
I look at this and I say, is this a parallel in terms of what's going on in the market now, in the global markets? Because you had the big, huge monster of companies that are international, and they have 20 different lines of business or 10 different lines of business, and they see in their own heads at the top level that it seemed to make sense.
Yeah, it can work.
They could work, but now
you have to build your organization to do that.
But now here we are with lots of those companies, divesting, looking at themselves differently, even banks.
Yeah, it's not a time though I would change your driving force. It's just a changing in the economics. For example, there, if you look at Berkshire Hathaway and Warren Buffett, I mean, he's just after profits.
Mm-hmm.
It can be in any business, but it's got to be a good long-term value business.
Right.
There's no way that the economy is going to change Warren from that. And I think that's fantastic, but he's going to have to divest. He's had to cut back.
He's taken some hits for the first time.
I would say it's not a time to change your driving force, but it isn't unusual to maybe stop and rethink. And if you think you're out of whack, and that's what this client was like, they were out of whack. They got away from what they were really good at, from their driving force, and they're going to do fine.
So you're able to kind of point that out to them and say, you need to actually pick that driving force.
Yeah, I can ask the dumb questions, I think, is what makes the difference there. And then we sort of figure it out together, and that's the best way to do it, and involve as many people from your business in it that you can.
So the leadership has to really want you.
Yes.
Is that the secret?
They have to feel the need, and they have to see my capability.
Have you ever been in any situations where they called you in a little too late, or maybe They bring you
in. Oh, it's never like, too late.
They're too far beyond repair. I don't know. It's like, sorry, your ship is sunk.
It may be tougher decisions and a tougher implementation, but no. It's never a tough time, never the wrong time to stop and say, are we doing the right thing? How are we going to continue to grow?
Now, if I'm a new company and I'm just starting up, what are some key things that I should be thinking about to get off on the right foot?
I can't emphasize the team enough. In fact, I talked with a number of the folks who would give young companies money. And when you ask them, why do they pick one company to give funding to over another, they say it's the team, it's the people. Now, So I think you can't ignore that from the start.
Well, what does that mean, the team?
Having people who can understand and drive the business just like you as the owner would. Now, it doesn't mean picking people yourself. I just listened to a workshop sponsored by the Business Times on the fastest growing companies for last year. And one of the fastest growing company CEO says, I checked up to 20 references on somebody before I would hire them.
I don't even think I have 20 references.
You know, Jonathan, we wouldn't have hired Jonathan. We wouldn't have hired me.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know?
I'd have been completely out of luck.
20 references?
Yeah,
they probably had to go back to grade school.
It could be. but then another one of the fastest growing CEOs said,
I hope he has a good HR department. If he was personally calling them, he's running his company to the ground.
Well, I've had another one of those persons said he wished he would have done that because he knew he could have grown his business faster. When they said, ask him what would he do differently, he said he would have brought on better people earlier and given up sooner. Given up meaning allowing somebody else to take on some responsibility and take some risks, not just me.
We've been down the road before. Absolutely.
Yes, have we?
Do you hear that?
A lot of companies have.
I almost wailed on the gong there for a second.
I know. I think that was one of those.
It was almost a gongable moment as far as that is. But absolutely.
I would have felt proud if I could have been part of a gongable moment.
A gongable
moment.
You might.
We still have a few minutes to create such a gongable moment. But
I'll give it my best.
Perfect.
So are you seeing any other trends? Anything interesting in this time of, the drop?
Yeah, I think very interesting uses of technology.
Ooh.
On the people metrics side and on the measurement side. So the idea of, this is not my strength, but the companies that are using business intelligence software, shareware, those kind of capabilities to get at the better measures and do a much better job of picking the things that are going to help them predict what's coming up. So forecasting is never great, but you can watch the right things and also really driving after value. What really makes the difference in the marketplace? It's not just customer satisfaction. It's what's going to keep customers coming back no matter, even if they're upset with your price. It's because of the broader value proposition that you provide. So I see those two key things. People are really working hard on their value proposition and they're looking for ways to apply technology. And maybe I see that in the human resources side, but I think that's a real differentiator. It can really help you be focused and do a much better job at going after the right things.
Well, soon we can have robots do some of these jobs, too.
The people shouldn't do jobs that robots should be able to. So I look forward to that because it means the company's doing the right things. But
people are doing the other stuff. Like serving nachos.
Oh,
it's just a job that doesn't require a person.
Jonathan's dangerous nachos machine.
You could get a robot gong.
A robot gong arm that would wail on the gong for us.
I have somebody who can do that for you.
It would sound just like this.
I love it.
I digress. So, Michael, tell us a little bit about your background. You've probably been doing this for years and years and years. You know this stuff inside and out. How did you get your start?
I started out with a background in industrial and organizational psychology, but I didn't right away. This was, I hate to say when it was. But
does that require the use of a couch?
Pardon me?
Does that require the use of a couch?
Yes, it does.
That's what I thought.
Yes, it does. I use them all the time.
Continue.
Yeah, I got immediately involved in process improvement activities in a business. So all the total quality management, the quality circles, those kinds of things give you good exposure to business processes and strategy. And I enjoyed that side of it. So I did HR stuff, did the organization development stuff. But then spent a lot of time on business process improvement activities, and I love that. And you could see the difference it would make in a business.
So you could stand over Jonathan's shoulder and say, Jonathan, why are you wasting your time doing that?
Yeah, why are you wasting time Twittering all the time?
Yeah. It's funny. It's not typically the people, though. It's
and
the
I say because she makes me do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's always a leadership problem, isn't it?
Isn't it? Do you like that?
It usually comes down to that. I'm glad you
like
brought
that
to the forefront.
I shouldn't have said that. Sorry.
So it's really not. It's not a people problem.
That's not where I start, though. Again, I'd start on the strategy, the key business processes. What's really the process in your business that makes a difference in the marketplace? Then you got to have the right people focused on it. So it's not where you begin, but that's the stage. But that's where I spent my career doing. Then I had a chance to run a business unit. So I had to prove what I could do.
Yeah.
And then ran operations for a small manufacturing business and then decided to go out and do this on my own.
What made you decide to go out and do it on your own?
A company decided for me. So that's always the great kick in the butt.
Absolutely.
The
gift.
It was the gift. Yeah.
It was the gift
of the boot.
It was the gift. Wasn't it your best gift?
It was.
Yeah.
It completely was. There's no way I could ever work for somebody else now. and it totally
we were
took,
thinking of hiring you. So forget that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, we can talk.
So, you have to be an employee.
Yeah, so how long have you been on your own?
About 2 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two years and your business has grown?
Yes, it has. Done very
well.
Because
he's applying his own strategies.
Do you outsource at all? Do you have any partners?
In fact, my business name is Michael Couch & Associates, but it's only me. But I love to partner up with other capable people that can do more for a client than I can do on my own. And I do that all the time. And it's a great model, and there's great people in Pittsburgh to do that.
Are you finding more and more people out there kind of hanging their own shingle now?
Yeah, there was just a national survey on that whole topic. A lot of people are looking for encore careers.
Right.
So they're...
Encore.
Encore careers. I love that.
Their meatloaf is fantastic. If you can't eat enough, Al comes over and helps you finish it off.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, watch TV, you'll see.
Yeah, so
that's an encore career. That's
a trend now. So all us baby boomers are looking for a new role in life. They like the role of consulting. It's good and bad. They need to figure out what consulting is, and it's not often what they think it is. But it's just
not bossing people around.
It's not as glamorous and sexy as they may think it is.
Well, it is glamorous and sexy.
Okay,
is it? Ooh, we're like with a movie star here.
But it's just like a business. They end up being their technology. They aren't trying to solve a client's problem. They're trying to sell themselves or a product, and that doesn't fly. So there's lots of good stuff. In fact, I'm thinking of doing a workshop in that area. So watch for it.
You know, I have a hypothesis on a mega trend that I think is going to occur. So
can you do a mega trend in 1 minute?
Oh.
We can get back to the mega trend when we come back from the end. Just making sure you say mega trend, and I'm thinking this.
I know. You know I'm going to get into a whole monologue
on real estate, but I think it's going to be some good stuff.
Yeah. I'm just very curious about how people are going to perceive talent when we come out of this and how they're going to think differently and behave. So I would just like to throw that out.
Throw it out there.
As my hypothesis on a mega trend.
Think about the mega trend, because we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with Michael Couch to then further explore said mega trend. Everyone, this is Tech Vibe Radio on 1360 WMNY. That's Pittsburgh Business Radio. We'll be right back with you.
Kissing girls in English at the back of the...
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Tech Vibe Radio. We're coming close to the top of the hour here. We got a few minutes left here with Michael Couch. This is Jonathan Kirsting with Audrey Russo. Just to remind our listeners, if you're listening earlier on the broadcast... I was talking about our breakfast briefing being tomorrow, but it's Thursday.
No, it's Thursday breakfast.
Thursday breakfast.
Right.
So just to remind everybody, if you're still listening, Thursday morning, go to our website, www.pghtech.org.
Yeah. Don't always
check
listen
it out.
To Jonathan.
Don't always listen to me.
Go to the website.
Go to the website. So it's all good.
Don't trust Jonathan. Trust
so
the
can
website.
We resume the conversation on the mega trend.
We promise mega trends.
My feeling is that when you go through these kind of economic times, these droughts, the times where people have to multitask, no matter if you're in a multinational, conglomerate, or if you're in a small startup, that we're going to think differently when the margins grow and when we have whatever growth defines a company about hiring people.
And people are
going to think differently about working for people.
Yeah, the contracts changes when these kinds of things happened. What I see within businesses is, they realize that if they're going to make the investment in talent, they're going to be very different than what they used to be in the past, because they've seen who's been able to multitask, take on more, be the most productive, and those are the kind of people they're going to look for.
So you think people will think differently?
I hope.
About hiring more people? Questioning when they need to hire.
One thing that I was most impressed with during this downturn is how many enlightened companies didn't jump to the force reductions. They came up with creative ways of mm-hmm. doing some either furloughing, or I talked with two companies this morning who refused to lay off, but they took it as time to train, to do process improvement. I had a CEO client too, when I was working with them on their talent work. He said, I wanted to power through this downturn. I want to come out so much stronger
than
the others.
All the companies we've been talking to have been saying that.
I love that phrase.
They're using this as the time to retrench.
That's how I feel with us at the council.
We've done the same exact thing.
Same exact thing.
And I think,
and Jonathan will do your laundry.
Fantastic.
Do the laundry.
Did you know? Yeah.
That's part
of what Jonathan is giving into in this recession.
Great. Well, yeah.
He'll go around, pick up everyone's laundry.
I've also been prone to armoring people's tires as well.
Wow.
You know, it's just one of those things you got to do.
My car needs detailed.
Well, I was going to say, I'm so busy, lawn
I have Q-tips, so.
I need a lawnmower. So.
Exactly.
See, wouldn't that be a good strategy that we all just pitched in, you know?
Well,
because we don't have time for those things.
Oh,
yeah. That's the other point that the CEO made, that he sees who's pitched in.
Yep.
Is that right grammar? I don't know. But that helped us define for them what key talent was.
Right.
And he also found that the people were in the wrong roles and some of the key positions they didn't have backed up. So finding that kind of talent, getting it in a way to be able to develop it for the future is very key.
So then the flip side is my other part of my hypothesis is that people who were working for these large companies and got laid off short of retirement, you know, not been there long, you know, whatever the arrangement may be, they will think really hard about jumping back onto that bandwagon.
I think they'll look for the things that they've seen in other companies who didn't take those kinds of actions or didn't have to, or how they were treated. I mean, I've talked with a lot of folks looking for jobs who understood, were treated well, were handled properly during a downsizing, and that makes all the difference. They might even be willing to go back for the company they left. They understood the economics of it. Boy, that's a fantastic thing to be able to say, and it says a lot about the sustainability of your business practices if you can do that. And if to bring back great talent, you just couldn't handle it right now, keep them in tow, a great idea. So, yes, I think it's good for everybody. It's sort of, why waste a good recession is the other term.
Why waste a good recession? Yeah.
Hey, I love that.
Yeah, and I stole that, so it's not mine. But, yeah, why waste a good recession when it comes to getting your strategy right and get your people right?
Well, it forces you to think, you know, in the best ways out there, making sure you're using every dollar the appropriate way.
Yeah. No. And it's good, and that means it's good. That works in good times and bad times both.
Exactly.
Much more sustainable, yeah.
Better believe it. So if people want to learn more about you and your services and all that type of good stuff, what's the best way to connect with you?
Check out the website, www.mcassociatesinc.com, or you can send me an email at michael@mcassociatesinc.com.
Okay.
And I'd love to hear from folks.
Fantastic.
So, and we had no callers, so I've got lots of books.
So he's got all these books you can give away.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It was great having you on the show.
Oh, I love being here.
Absolutely.
I appreciate the work you guys are doing, and I'll put a plug in for Verizon, too. I'm a user of that, and I think it's fantastic.
I'm all about the Fios.
Yeah, you betcha.
Fios.
It's Thursday, not Wednesday.
It's Thursday breakfast at the Rivers
Club.
Thursday breakfast.
Come one, come all, no callers. Yeah. But we had a great guest.
Absolutely. We really appreciate you being on the show and everything like that.
My pleasure, and I didn't get gonged, so I feel pretty good.
You weren't gonged. I just kind of demonstrated the gong with my finger, and it was all good.
You did.
We really appreciate it. Everybody, this is Tech Vibe Radio, 1360 WMNY. We're going on a short break. We're going to be back from the folks from Brunner Works telling us about social media and how you can apply that to your business.
What, they bring like 20 people?
There's like 20 guys out there, and they all look really smart. And they're going to be like showing us stuff.
Don't be fooled.
Oh, man. We're going to be twittering about it right now. So, everybody, this is Tech Vibe Radio, 1360 WMNY. We'll be right back with you. Now I'm going to spend it.